Welcome back, everyone, to this 47th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and this week I have two very special guests with me. I have Ruby Bear. How you doing, Ruby?
Hey, how are you? I'm good.
And I also have Tiger Feet. How you doing?
Hello. I'm great. You forgot to say from secretagentcat.com.
Oh, from secretagentcat.com.
Shame.
See,
Ryan
I just,
always says it.
I got
Jeez.
You. I got it in twice there, though. That was the trick. That's, yeah, it was totally planned.
Oh, wait, here, I'll say it to secretagentcat.com. Now we've all said it.
Yeah, of course, Tiger Feet was on Relics of War. And Relics of War, now that's officially done, right?
I'm not entirely sure. I think Ryan wants to get to episode 45 before he calls it quit, but he hasn't arranged anything that I know of. And I know a couple of the other hosts are really sad to see it go and eventually want to pick it back up again.
Yeah. But in the meantime, I'm stealing all the co-hosts, so go me. No, I'm just kidding.
Resistance is futile. I will be assimilated.
Exactly. No, Ryan and I have talked about it, and he gave me permission to steal you, so I guess it's...
Awesome. I feel so like an indentured servant here.
That's what I was going to say. You feel so used, huh? No, that's well, it's good to have you on the show, definitely.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I really am excited.
Oh, cool. I mean, I hope we can live up to your excitement. But, it's funny because we, you know, when we do the show, we just kind of literally say, hey, you want to record? Sure. And then we press record and, you know, that's it. And it's,
there we go.
And sometimes it doesn't work out so well. No, it's a lot of fun, though. I mean, we have fun.
We edit that stuff out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what we're going to do in this episode is we're going to read some emails, and we're going to kind of catch up with that. You know, it's been a few episodes now where we haven't really read emails. And last time I asked the listeners, to send in questions for Ruby concerning her trip to ArenaNet that she took a couple weeks ago. Yay. So we did get a few questions there, which we'll be able to read, and Ruby can answer. Tiger Feet, you can answer those too, if you want to just make something up, you know?
you mean put in truth when you get stuff wrong?
You could do that, yeah. You could do all that stuff. That's the fun part, yeah. Usually when we get stuff wrong, and then people, they'll email us, and we'll say it the next week. So this will be like real-time correction.
You can't see it, but I'm doing a ninja pose.
Oh.
Because I don't know.
That's like
she's a ninja.
When Ruby does the air quotes, we can't see him.
Yeah.
Well, that and I flail my hands around and gesture.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I don't even realize I'm doing it until I, like, knock something off the desk.
Okay. Well, let's just start out with kind of a what have we been playing. Have you guys been playing the Guild Wars this week?
I did a hard mode Fissure World Clear, finished about an hour ago.
I'm AFK on Nine Rings right now.
I couldn't stand Xing Jie anymore. I had to leave.
Oh, man. I need to connect and do some AFKing.
You kind of do because there's a new hat.
Oh,
yep.
Man.
For the Dragon Festival. Okay, and Tiger, I got to know what you think of the hat.
It's a little bit goofy. I don't hate it, but I'm not enamored either.
Well, you're politer than I was. I was like, this is really fugly.
Oh, my husband came in and saw it, and he absolutely loves it. And
does he
went
really?
In, yeah, he went in on a tirade about how the Asian dragons are supposed to be demons, and the good ones look the ugliest, and blah blah blah. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine, honey. I still think it looks goofy.
Yeah, I showed it to the hat maker and pitched it. I've got like this Pokemon-like urge to collect every freaking hat, even if I'm never going to wear it again.
Yeah.
But darn it, I have it.
I do that, too. I have to have every one of them. And I think I missed one a couple years ago, and it threw me off. I mean, now I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just all down in the dumps whenever I think about it.
Well, but, I mean, you never know when you're going to get into a hat battle, and you're going to need that extra one.
Exactly.
It's important.
Exactly.
I know, right? So, Tiger, did you run the quests?
Yeah, well, yeah. I didn't really pay attention to them. I was running them with some other relics and pig folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
pretty much most of the gaming and Guild Wars I do these days is when my friends are doing something, and I'd said, oh, hey, can I come with? And they're like, yeah. Or we do hamstorming in AB. I'm always down for that.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool.
Well, what about you, Sean? Have you played the Guild Wars?
No, I haven't played the Guild Wars this
week. Have you played the Fallen Earth?
Only for like a couple hours.
Oh, is that all? Okay.
Yeah. It's been APB week this week.
Oh.
I'm sure nobody wants to hear about.
I'm angry at you about that just because I couldn't get in.
Oh, really? Isn't it an open beta? I thought
it was. It is. No, it wasn't any problem with that. The client wouldn't work on my computer.
Oh. Yeah. It actually, it hardly works on anyone's computer. No.
Yeah. Leave it.
Sean has a special computer from Gamers First.
Yeah, I wish.
It's the APB computer. It's shaped like a car.
It's shaped like a big bullet.
Even better.
No, it's one of those things where the entire guild was playing it for maybe like a week, and it took me 5 days to download, and then 3 days for whatever company that is to tell me that, oh, it doesn't work, re-download it and try again. I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Oh, man. Was that when it was for Real-Time Worlds back then? Or?
No, this was maybe a month ago or so.
Oh, okay, so Gamers First. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, I've been playing it. It's funny because I hate PvP. I hate shooters. Well, no, I don't hate shooters. I kind of grew up on shooters, but I'm not very good at them. We'll say that. And then I start playing this, and I'm like, wow, like I really like this game. So I don't know. It's weird. It's just being a gangster. I think that's what it is. I'm secretly just letting out my inner gangster. It does. It's. I'm gonna start.
Not really sad I couldn't get in because we were playing cops.
Oh yeah.
Well, the guild I'm in is called Hamstorm Nation, and our tag is Pig. Uh-huh. So, of course, we had to be the cops.
Oh, that's...
That's kind of an awesome guild tag, I gotta say.
Okay, well, let's talk about Guild Wars. Does that sound like a good idea?
That would be awesome. Well, we were doing that until you started talking.
I know. I always have to mess that up. Well, so let's go ahead and read through some email. We have a nice little handful of them. And some of these go back about... Not even a month. That's not bad. So... That's not bad for us, right? So this first one, actually, I've received this a few times and actually also on Massively as well. It's from the guy who set up GuildWars2Beast.com, GW2Beast.com.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, hey, Sean and Ruby, my name is Landon Mosley. I'm currently running a Guild Wars 2 fan site, GW2Beast.com, and I was wondering how we should go about getting on your site. Maybe we could do some sort of link exchange or something. We're putting out the latest news, articles, and updates surrounding Guild Wars 2. We're very new to the scene and only 1 month old. We only have a few active members in our community, but we're trying to get more out there. Is there any advice you can offer me? I would be much obliged to hear back from you at your earliest convenience. Well, Landon, there you go. We did it. We just put you on the site. You are officially... We've mentioned you... So, I mean, it's I checked out the site. I mean, I'm always happy to kind of promote, you know, when there's a new fan site for Guild Wars. You know, I'm always happy about that kind of stuff because it means that there are other fans out there and kind of this bigger pool of people who are, you know, more interested in the game and you know, getting it all set up and everything. And so I have no problem at all, you know, throwing that out there. Guild Wars, GW2Beast.com. So check that out.
Yeah, it looks pretty slick. I like the design. Nice and bright.
Yeah, definitely.
Yipper. So, okay. This next email says, hey, Ruby and others. Ooh, it's like they knew that Tiger was coming out.
It's like they knew.
Ooh.
Oh, wait, unless they're just saying I'm not important. Maybe that's... No. Anyway.
I think it's that they're clairvoyant.
Oh, okay. You can call me Connor or C$. I like Connor better.
I want to say C dollar sign, like a lot.
I want to see lots of dollar signs.
Yes, that would be a cool one. I've been listening to Guildcast for a couple months now. Someone mentioned it on the Guild Wars 2 Facebook page. Your podcast is informative and professional. You only mess up occasionally, usually Sean's fault. Wait, what?
What?
So anyway, I suppose I should ask some questions now instead of wasting your time rambling on. So, number one, in Guild Wars 1, The Mesmer always seemed to be a PvP class, not really a PvE class. Do you think it will be the same when and if the Mesmer is in Guild Wars 2? Let's answer that.
You know what? I've been playing my Mesmer a ton in Guild Wars lately, and I don't do PvP, so...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see them as a PvE only... Or I don't see them as a PvP only class.
No, me neither.
Definitely and not.
I mean,
I guess,
the outfits are incredible.
I know, awesome. Right? What a waste.
When we're running, we're usually always bringing a Panic Mesmer of some sort, or if I'm bringing my Mesmer, I'm running Illusionary Weaponry, and yeah. That's always PvP. It is true, that though, that they absolutely rock at PvP.
Yeah.
Do they really?
Oh, yes. Just their shutdown is ridiculous. Unless we're hamstorming, and then they just need to run and hide, because you can't survive it.
I've been running her actually as an Assassin Secondary, Assassin's Promise Caller. And that has been so much fun.
See, here's what I think, too, is like he says, do you think it would be the same in Guild Wars 2? I don't think any classes are going to be, you know, primarily PvP in Guild Wars 2. Although I think that will all be up to perception. You know, a good example is here. He's saying, you know, Mesmer is PvP only. And it's not like that at all. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't
are
think
we still pretending that we don't think, that we don't know that Mesmers will be in Guild Wars 2? Or can we just move on?
Well, I don't know. I think it's a safe bet, but man, we're always surprised by ArenaNet, so I don't know.
I'm thinking the surprise will come in the implementation. I mean, there's so many different theories about what they could be and what they could do. You know, even if we're not surprised and it is the Mesmer, it's still going to be a surprise about how they work.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's not just going to be a straight copy from Guild Wars 1. No way.
Well, they haven't done that even once yet, so I can't imagine why they'd start with the Guild Wars class.
Yeah. I think a few have come close. I mean, the Warrior, Ellie, and Ranger have been pretty close, I guess. But even then, you know, they throw in little things here and there that have kind of, you know, surprised us, so yeah.
The same, but not.
Yeah, but better.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, so he's got another question here. Do you think there should be, on the side duels, 1v1 in Guild Wars 2, like some other games have, just for fun, no death? Oh, just like, I guess he's saying, like, you know, in an open world, a lot of games where you can just duel someone right there. You don't have to go to an arena. He's saying, do you think there will be something like that in Guild Wars 2?
Just for fun. I don't think there will. They've said there's not going to be any 1v1.
Yeah.
But
it's a fun
thought. Yeah, I think there's room for it. I wouldn't throw a fit.
Yeah, especially with all the different races, and you know, they all. I mean, they get along, but not completely. You know, there are the different sects to each one, and so it would be kind of. It would make sense for some of them to, you know, fight each other. I mean, even, you know, human versus human, char versus char, stuff like that, of course. But I think it would probably fit. But, yeah, like you said, they already said that they're not going to do that.
Well, something like that, too, could be implemented pretty well as a minigame. Like, you've got the Dornbin-Norn brawling up north. If you put some kind of gladiatorial arena down in Lion's Arch, I mean, there's precedence for that in the books.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay, third question. Should there be socks in Guild Wars 2?
I spend enough time picking up socks in my real life. I don't want to mess with socks in my games.
I live in Tennessee, so we don't wear socks. We just,
you barely wear pants.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even know what he's talking about. But he puts a dyeable, maybe. Like, dyeable socks.
I'm okay with what we've got now.
I think that's the first person to ever ask that.
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
All I can think is just that socks are a little too real life.
Yeah.
So, I have 3 kids. There's socks everywhere. I'm okay. I'm all good.
All right, next question he's got. Do you think each class will have slightly different character creation? For example, changing horn size or fur bodacity. And he put, yeah, I said bodacity, Sean. On a char to mustaches on a human. Now, do we know that for sure?
Did you say profession differences
each
or
class.
Racial?
Class. Well, he says each class, but I think he meant race.
Races.
Racial.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely going to be a lot of awesome stuff.
It's going to have to be.
Yeah, this is a great segue, but in the G4 video, there was about 1.5 seconds they showed the physical character creation screen for Achar, and there were four options on the screen. It was four or five, and then there were two options that weren't on the screen. There was height, build, fur pattern, fur color, and then there was head, and I think on the wiki it said there were two more options speculated to have to do with horn shape and maybe ear shape or facial, like, ruffs or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so. A lot of other games do that. And it makes sense.
Yeah, it was so cool. I looked at the screenshot, and there's 14 different colors available for the base of the fur and then the fur pattern. So, and it's nice. The same 14 colors. So you could make a tiger, a white tiger with black stripes, or a black tiger with white stripes.
Nice.
See, that is
extremely
cool. And send
zebras crazy everywhere.
Yeah. See, it sounds like you've already planned this out.
Yes. You're talking to the girl who wrote down a family history down to the fourth generation from her Guild Wars characters.
That's cool. That's really cool. I like that. Yeah, I think, but I think there probably will be something like that. They've already mentioned also that as far as the creation of the story, like, you know how you do your storyline during character creation and your kind of backstory? They've already said that that will be race-dependent. So, you know, it'll change according to that. So I imagine they'll do that. But, I mean, do you remember anything like that, Ruby?
No, and, I mean, I didn't get a look at anything like that. When we were at the character creation screen, it just said extensive character creation available in the live game. I mean, there was nothing.
Well, that was the physical differences, wasn't it? They still allowed you to do the personal story customizations, right?
Yeah, we still got that, but there wasn't, as far as character creation, it was pretty streamlined. I kind of tried to get a look at what we, I mean, since it was randomized, everybody had different looking characters, and I kind of tried to get a look at everybody else that was running around just to get some ideas. Everybody was running around so frantically, like nobody would even hold still long enough. So I saw like a lot of the back of people's heads, and those were different.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, to finish off his email here, he says, well, those are my questions. Feel free to make fun of me in any way. Wait, I wish I would have known that earlier.
You have to read to the end.
He says, in fact, I would be upset if you didn't. Anybody want to make fun of him real quick?
I don't know. I think his hair looks funny.
I think he stinks. I don't know. Guess I'll see you later. And remember, Sean, it's not that Ruby is better than you. It's just that you're not as good as Ruby. What?
Oh, so not true.
So much hate for Sean.
And so many lies.
Oh, and then he signs it C Money, so it's not C Dollar Sign. I like C Dollar Sign.
I totally. I want to see if I want to make a character named C Dollar Sign.
Or C Many Dollar Signs. Like
yes.
Okay, next email. Good afternoon, guys. Actually, there's just one guy here. I had two thoughts today about Guild Wars 2. Since a boss is dead for good after a certain character or characters kill it, could you see a team becoming legendary within the game for simply killing off a bunch of the big guys? I guess there would have to be some monument somewhere proclaiming a team being great for killing bosses. If there is, could you see legends and histories developing within the Guild Wars 2 world, or do you think that is just plain silly? He's got another note after that. Let's just tackle that one first. What do you guys think?
Oh, I think that's a little ambitious.
I think some of his base premises are wrong. He says a boss is dead for good when you kill it. That's just in the personal story. So it's just dead for you in the instance you go into for good.
Yeah, it's not in the open world part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, I mean, still, even if, since the personal stories are shareable, you know, if other people get into your group, I wonder if that's what he's talking about as far as, you know, killing that boss, and you're kind of a legend, but you would be a legend, like, in your own story, like, in your own mind, and then that would be it. So, I mean, do you think that would even be worth it?
That's I mean, a lot of manpower. I mean, I'm kind of thinking about this from a practical design point of view. Just because they've said to do something like, I mean, like a year ago, what a lot of people were thinking, they were kind of like, okay, wait a second, guys, to do what you're talking about, we would need a team of 10,000.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. you know, we're kind of, that's kind of going not too far, but a little ways down that road. I mean, it would be awesome. I think it would be really, really cool. But in this sort of setup that they're making for us, I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah, the dynamic events, I think the best way that they've ever described them is to say that they're persistent, but they're not permanent. Yeah. They are a bit cyclical in nature just because it would be impossible to make something brand new for each and every person.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you couldn't really have the any kind of a monument that other people would see unless it was like the Hall of Monuments, which is, you know, instanced for you, but it's you still bring people in to show off your monument or your hall. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, something like that might be a possibility, but you never know. Okay, so the next part here says, wouldn't it be cool if there were fight announcements for fights between very good PvP players, kind of like a heavyweight match? You could have posters that announce these fights and town criers. There could even be an economy for promoters of such fights, maybe mayors who want to bring the fight to their town. You could have certain goods that could only be bought during fights at the town the fight is being held in. Just a thought. And then he says, hell, I would do PvP if that were the case. Everyone has always wanted to know what it would have been like to be a great gladiator. And that's from Tom.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, that would be a cool idea.
I could actually see them implementing something like that, but linking it with the world versus world battles, mm-hmm. where you'll have people populating the cities, and what they do depends on how the battle in the world versus world is going. Say your world is losing, you'll have people running around Divinity's Reach claiming that it's the end of the world, and or just like pushing war bonds saying, we need you to go fight in the mists.
Yeah. That would be kind of cool. Kind of a World War II situation. And
yeah, it'd be a good way to get PvE centered people to give it a shot too, if they run across people urging them to go do it.
Yeah, because I mean, going back again, like the World War II thing, you know, production, I mean, they stopped making cars and the production went all towards military, so you could have like PvE people make just crafting the heck out of stuff for the cause, you know, for the war effort or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Wow, that's getting that's getting into a whole different game, I think. But yeah, actually, I think there are games that do that. Like Age of Conan kind of does that a little bit. But
well, I remember when I used to play World of Warcraft, they would open a brand new dungeon. They had the entire server pitch in to help open it, and you'd have to craft like so many thousand of linen cloths or whatever. And there were different tiers of goods you could make depending on what level you were, and when that was reached. When you had enough goods amassed, then the high-end raid instance would open and your hardcore raiders could go in and do their thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Actually, Fallen Earth has something almost similar where you take over cities. They're called conflict towns, and your faction takes over a city, and then it spawns NPCs of your faction, and then you have to craft things to get them their equipment so that they can defend the city. I think that's pretty cool. It's kind of the same thing like I was talking about. But yeah, I mean, so many possibilities. ArenaNet could listen to this right now and be like, look, we already got it set up. Don't give us any more ideas. No, I'm sure they have, what they have set up is probably pretty phenomenal, I imagine. Okay, next email. This is only 9 days ago, so we're catching up. Hey, Ruby and Sean, and he puts ladies first. I'd like to extend my gratitude to Ruby for doing such an excellent coverage of Guild Wars Fan Day. I was watching your Twitter like a hawk. All the videos and pictures you provided only further my excitement for this obviously amazing piece of art, which is what it seems to be rather than a game. I have a couple questions about what I saw from the coverage. The 8-minute dungeon preview was amazing. There's one thing that's holding me back, though. So I would like to ask Ruby, do you feel the combat technique and mechanics are really as revolutionary as they claim? I can see the concepts work together and see how everything molds together almost perfectly, but some part of me was expecting more hopping around, dodging, and more realistic combat as they've claimed. Now, I realize that you guys have never played before. I'm guessing it was you in the video, but it was all a bunch of standing around. Epic, totally awesome to the max, standing around to be more specific. But do you think that in higher level play, more strategy and movement will be required?
Absolutely. I'm not sure what was... I've kind of watched the video he's talking about a few times. That was definitely not me. I died a lot more than that. honestly, while I was fighting, and I noticed this about the rest of my teammates in this dungeon, we were all over the place. I mean, running back and forth. At one point, I had to run down the stairs, swing around to the side, and use the side of these stairs as cover. Because the battle was moving around so much. I mean, we're up and down stairs, we're off ledges and around corners. Everybody was, and there was a lot of, well, in my case, I was the Ellie, switching attunement to compensate for where the battle, I mean, if we were taking a lot of heavy damage, I needed to switch to more of a healing focus. It was just really, and it was hard because we were new players in a level 27, 30 dungeon. But it was absolutely not static or boring at any point whatsoever.
See, to me, he's talking about there wasn't enough hopping around and everything. Like, to me, that's, you know, that's a shooter kind of a thing. You know, that's, you'll see that in APB, you know, going back to APB. But it seems like the setting of the combat of Guild Wars 2 doesn't really play into that. I mean, the only hopping and jumping around you'll be doing are like those amazing flips that the thief does, you know, and things like that, the acrobatics, you know. But you don't really need to be hopping around.
You're supposed to be doing your dodge rolling, though, to get out of the way. I noticed, I think it was a thief video from one of the developers, and he only got hit a couple, he was him versus, I think it was a centaur, but he only got hit a couple of times, and he was always moving out of the way. And when I see stuff like that, and then I see videos like the one he's talking about, I think of first, I remember hearing a comment that you guys, you Guild Wars fans, did a bit better than the general media did in the dungeons. I think I remember hearing that. And the fact that you're coming to a new game, and we've been trained that in MMOs, you just need to stand there and use your skills and maybe jump out of a fire every now and again. We've been trained like that. We haven't been playing Guild Wars 2 for maybe more than a few minutes like you guys got to. And so it'll take time to learn how to be more mobile with your character.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But no, I mean, if you're fighting in Guild Wars 2, as just in my experience, if you just kind of stand still like we're looking at, you are going to die. It's not anything where you can just kind of stand around and do your thing. There's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I forgot about the dodging. Yeah, that's a big part of it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I was very bad at that. There's a learning curve there.
Yeah, because you're just not used to it.
You know? I'm so excited about it, because there was a game I played when I was a lot younger where to run, you had to press the movement key twice, and I'm like, when I look at that, it's, oh my god, it's just like that. It's going to be so awesome when we get to do it. I'm going to run out of energy so quickly.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's continue on with this. It says, Izzy posted on her Twitter that the first part of Winds of Change will have 42 quests. I think WIK had 9. Are the quests as long as Warren Cried is? That is one long piece of content, if so. Do we know anything about that?
We played some Winds of Change while we were there.
But do you know if it has 42 quests?
And that is what John Stumey said. Oh, okay. I was in the room when he said it.
Okay.
More details, please.
Okay, I have a confession to make.
Uh-oh.
When we got to the Winds of Change part was kind of toward the end of Fan Day, and it wasn't like late at night, but it was kind of, you know, it was after lunch and all of that. I had been there for 48 hours, and I had had 3 hours of sleep. I don't remember a lot about Winds of Change. I wish I was making that up. I was like, ooh, cool armor. And we killed some afflicted, and then I am not even kidding. I had to take a break. I got up, and I went over, and I sat on the floor and talked to the live team for like an hour. I did 2 quests. Nice. I was so stinking tired. They were not like super short quests. It wasn't like, hey, go out there and kill 5 things. The 2 quests that we did, I am pretty sure were like at the very beginning. And I don't know, do you remember Warren Cried at the beginning? You're kind of like, wow, this is easy. I can hero this.
Yeah.
And then you and get then, to
And then it ate your face a few quests down the road.
Yes.
It was pretty easy. It was run out into the horrible sewers of Kantha and kill some afflicted and then report in. And that's honestly really all we saw. But he did say 42 quests. So even 42 of what we did is stinking extensive content.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think that's... But, I mean, it's cool that's something as early as that has been already confirmed.
Yeah.
You know, 42, but... Cool. Okay, let's go on to this next email.
Okay,
here we go. It says, I sent this to Ruby, but I wasn't sure if I was supposed to send it to you, so I'm sending it to you anyway. Nice. hi, Ruby and Sean. First off, I just have to say I really love listening to the podcast. Both of you do a really nice job and have a great dialogue with each other. I only discovered the podcast a little bit ago, so I apologize if my questions have already been answered. I always play casters in almost all video games.
Yay!
And I hope the Eighth Profession is a Mesmer, but I'm most excited for the Elementalist at the moment because, well, they're just awesome.
I love this guy so much.
Did you write this, Ruby?
I did not write this, but I need to meet this person.
However, the Guildcast started after the Elementalist was revealed, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that profession never really got a reaction on the Guildcast that I'm aware of.
Did he seriously not hear me screaming?
Yeah, I don't think that's true at all. Because didn't we start... Did we start after the Elemental wasn't announced?
I don't remember. I just remember screaming a lot.
It seems like, I don't know, I can't remember, but it seems like we did cover that, at least. Anyway, it says, all the other professions have had a good chunk of discussion and critique about their abilities, looks, how they play, etc., but the only thing said about the Elementalist was that it was revealed first and made you happy. This was in episode 1. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay, so he did his homework. Go you.
So you know more about the show than I do. Okay.
I'm glad it sounds someone's like paying attention.
Yeah. It sounds like we need to make an Elementalist episode.
Yes!
Actually, you know, that we do need to do that, though. Like, in the old Guildcast, I would do that. I would take, you know, topics and professions and things like that and just dedicate a whole show to, you know, all the details about it. You know, so far, this kind of reborn Guildcast has been about news because there's been so much. But we should do that sometime. Just have, you know, like more of a informative show.
An Ellie show.
An Ellie show. Exactly. Well, here you go. He asks right here, so what are your impressions of The Elementalist? A long time after release. He says, again, I haven't been able to listen to everything yet, so I apologize if you did discuss it, but I'd love to hear what you have to say. That's all you, I think.
Yeah, this is like super timely since, I mean, when I heard the LA release way back when, super, super excited about it. I mean, obviously they released the best class first, and I loved that, but now I've actually played that class, and I've got a couple hours under my belt playing the Guild Wars 2 LA, and I could, and actually we should probably go ahead and read his second question too, because it all kind of is of a piece.
Oh, okay. Well, you read ahead.
I totally read ahead.
Okay, my second question is related to the first. I haven't followed Guild Wars 2 incredibly closely, and maybe you've picked up on something I missed, but do we know if the Elementalist has to specialize in certain elements? One thing I didn't like about the Elementalist in Guild Wars was how you were practically forced into focusing on one or two elements. Since we can switch elemental alignment on the fly, does this mean that we can use water, switch to earth, and conjure an earthquake or whatever, and follow up with a lightning bolt, and have all of these spells perform competently? I really, really hope so, as I think the alignments help balance them so they can spam damage and heal back-to-back, at least not easily. Keep up the good work. I love the guild cast. I like when people say the guild cast. And I hope I sent this to the right place.
Yay. Okay. Yeah, here is why I love the Guild Wars 2 Ellie, and this is why it all fits in. Because you can change elements on the fly. You can totally do that. I love my Guild Wars 1 Elementalist. Do not get me wrong. But now that I've played the Guild Wars 2 Ellie, in Guild Wars 1, I mean, you know, you set up everything before you leave town. If you want to switch from fire to earth, you're just too bad until you get back to town. In Guild Wars 2, and this is actually something that I had to learn the hard way after dying a few times, you do have each element up top, and you've got one at character creation that you have an affinity for, but you can use all four. So I'm trying to think of an example. I'm in there, and I was just a fire ally because that's what I'm comfortable with, and we're dealing damage. And the tide of battle started to turn where we were, I mean, the enemies were just really bringing the pain, and we were taking a lot of damage. And I realized, this is kind of an embarrassing story, I realized that somebody else in the group, I mean, there are like these huge, it's almost like a geyser of water coming up. And as I run through, I start being healed. And I'm looking around, and I like called out to the room in general. I was like, who's the water, Ellie? Who's doing that? What is that? And they're like, well, that's me, but you could do it too if you wanted. I was like, no, I'm a fire, Ellie. And, you know, you can kind of feel that everybody's trying not to look at you like you're an idiot. Yeah. And everybody's focused very intently on their screens. And the dev behind me kind of very nicely pointed, and she was like, if you click that little box, you could be a fire Ellie too, or a water Ellie too. And, oh, yeah.
You're like, this is amazing.
I was so happy. So after that, I was like switching back and forth. There is a cooldown, so you can't just bam, 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 bam. Mm-hmm. But the cooldown's pretty painless. I mean, I didn't get numbers, but I know at one point, I mean, after I figured this out, that was so embarrassing. Once I finally figured this out, I know that at one point, you know, I was slinging fire and started taking some damage, switched over quickly to a healing, to more of a healing focus with water. And water, I mean, water can damage too, but there is a little more healing there. Threw down a couple of heals on the ground and then popped back over to fire, and it was fairly quick.
Cool.
So it is, I mean, it is so, so much more versatile, and it's so much more fun, and you're not just in there being the glass cannon. Mm-hmm.
That sounds awesome. And that, yeah, that ties in, too, with cool, what I was saying earlier about, you know, we've been trained in these certain MMOs, and it's going to take a little bit to get used to the freedom we get.
Yeah. You know, I did find that, because as a caster, I'm conditioned. I mean, it's muscle memory to stay still while you're casting.
Mm-hmm.
And that hurts in Guild Wars 2. You can't. I had to learn to move around and that I can move around.
Yeah, casting, being able to cast while you're moving is something that so not many other games have done. It's really going to be nice when we get used to it. We're going to be unable to play any other game. You realize that, right?
Oh my gosh.
Guild Wars 2 is going to spoil us so badly.
That's the hope, we are going to be super spoiled.
Yeah. And we're like the biggest fanboys and girls anyway, so it's going to make it worse.
Well, I don't know. I've seen, there have been things in the past that I didn't care for. And I think I was fairly vocal about that. But overall, I mean, I've just been so happy with everything I've seen.
Well, even the stuff that wasn't very good, namely the ranger pets, they've acknowledged that it's not so good and that they're going to fix it. It's not like they've just got their head in their sand, in the sand, saying, this is awesome, and if you don't think so, you're dumb. No, they're willing to listen and listen to us when we say this really needs some work.
I'm just imagining like a new ArenaNet manifesto video, and they're like, yeah, you guys are dumb, so we're just going to do what we want to do. No, I don't think that'll happen. sorry. Anyway, next email. It says, hey guys, my name is Dima. I guess these questions are mostly for Ruby, but I'm sending the email to you both anyways. First, I was wondering if all the screenshots Ruby took could be made available for download so that we could see them in full resolution. That would be awesome. Second, I read that they had redone the LE somewhat, so I was wondering if Ruby noticed anything major, or was it mostly just changes to skills? Thank you. Well, we just kind of talked about that.
Yeah, we covered that. And actually, since I had the screenshot request quite a bit after my first blog post because I used PhotoBucket. Mm-hmm. So after that, I switched to Picasa. And if you go through and look at the photo albums on the previous Guildcast on the blog post that I put up, you'll see that the last two albums are in Picasa and you can download the full screenshot. But I am out of memory space, so I'm actually going to have to figure out what to do about that. And then I'll get that first album up in high resolution soon too.
So the lesson there is use Picasa, right?
Oh my gosh, totally. But not for, I mean, I literally had like something like 300 high-res pictures, and after a while, Picasa was like, you kind of need to quit that. So I have to make another album I have to make another account somehow for that third album.
Cool. Yeah, and just you can just go back and check, like she said, the previous post. Because I think that was written before you did the Picasa stuff. So
yeah,
it gets better. Was,
yeah.
Okay, next email. Actually, this is our last one. It says, "Hello, Sean and Ruby. Been listening to the show for a long while, after episode 10-ish, I think. I'm really enjoying it. Just found out about Relics of War ending, and while I'm sad to see them go, it made me realize how much I appreciate both them and you guys. Thanks to both of you, Sean and Ruby, for devoting your time and effort to Guildcast and the Guild Wars community. As a listener of both Guildcast and Relics, I, for one, would be very happy to see some of the Relics crew join up with you guys in the future." Hey, that's
Hi there.
A great idea.
What a good idea. You know what, who we should totally get on here? It's Tiger Feet.
Oh, yeah. We
yeah,
should.
You should absolutely get that girl.
She is
Wait,
awesome.
She has a website, doesn't she?
What is that website, Sean?
Wait, what is that website? It seems like...
I think
like
it's secretagentcat.com.
It seems like
that sounds familiar.
Something with an agent cat.
Yeah, I think that's it. We're so dorks.
Okay.
You guys are hilarious.
So the rest of this email says, "Now for a little Guild Wars 2. ArenaNet has said that they are going to make some cosmetic changes to the Silvari. I believe the word they used was reskin. Do we have any idea if it is just an overall change to their art design or literally a reskin? Changing the textures of them, maybe making them less vibrantly orange and yellow like in the screenshots. I know I personally like the original concept art of the Silvari, like what they show on the Guild Wars 2 website." And then he's got a link to the guildwars2.com/en/the-game/races/Silvari. he likes that better than what they look like in the screenshots we have seen below on the same page. "The Silvari are the race I am most looking forward to learning about, as they are new to Guild Wars 2. I know you've talked about this before, but the wording I have seen in news stories caught my attention. Again, love the show. You guys are awesome." Well, okay, I know that you talked... Didn't you talk about that from Fan Day?
Yeah, because I saw a Silvari in game, and I got all excited and went running over there to take screenshots, and a dev was behind me. I think it was Colin, and he was immediately like, "They don't look like that anymore."
Yeah.
I was like, sorry. But you know what? I have a story. I have so many stories. but I haven't told this one yet, so it's a better story. we watched the... is it Play Online? Is that the symphony that was showing out there? I forget the title of
yeah.
it. Okay. We got to see their cinematic from that, and they were very adamant that we could not take any pictures and video. He said, because we have some new stuff here that we haven't shown and we want to use in the future. So we got to watch this amazing thing, and nobody else could see it. We couldn't show it to anybody. So we're sitting there, and Leslie from Curse.com and I, on Media Day, we kind of bonded because we were like the fangirls in the group. And when they took us to the press room and told us to go sit, we like knocked everybody down to get to the front and center table. So we're like sitting right in the front, and the two of us were sitting there chatting with one of the PR guys, a couple of devs, and two of the community team. We're all like in a little bunch. And we're kind of out of the corner of our eye. We're watching this cinematic. And I swear I saw a Silvari. I swear I saw a new Silvari. Because there's like seven of us, and we're all chatting. And I look, and I went, "Oh, is that a Silvari?" And everybody stopped talking. I mean, literally nobody would speak to me. And they all just looked at me.
Well, what did it look like?
Yeah. It was so awesome, and I could not take a picture.
Can you
it was much sleeker. It didn't have, it still had the Silvari look. I mean, obviously I could kind of tell what it was. And you know what? If it turns out that's not what it was, I'm going to feel like a real idiot. But it had that Silvari look, but it wasn't so much a plant person. See, to me, the original Silvari looked like Strawberry Shortcake dolls.
Yeah.
Do you remember those?
The original yes. screenshot Silvari or the concept art Silvari?
The actual screenshot Silvari.
Oh,
the
yeah,
thing
yeah.
that I saw in game looked like a Strawberry Shortcake doll.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, my neighbors are seriously, like, setting off mortars out there. I'm sorry for the noise.
I can't hear anything.
Yeah, I can't hear it either.
Seriously, the walls are shaking. I'm not making that up. But this one, it looked nothing like it, but it still had a Silvari look to me. Very sleek, more, less cartoony. That's like, the
oh,
best
good.
Way I can, yeah. More... It had more of a Kaith look to it, but like if Kaith was more badass.
Hmm.
I'm trying so hard to describe this thing, and I just want to show you a picture so badly.
I'm going to be selfish here and tell you to go to my blog and see if I got anywhere close, because I just drew a Silvari yesterday morning on live stream.
Wait, where is that blog again?
It's secretagentcat.com. I feel like I'm a
check it out. It's
a late 90s ad.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay.
Is that in the right direction? Because honestly, the artwork side of things is what I live for. I'm an artist myself, and I just love looking at the art they've got, and am insanely curious about the direction they're going, even though the Silvari isn't the race I'm most excited about.
It's kind of in the same direction. The lines were not so smooth. Well, and it was female, and she was standing up straight. She was almost like stretched out, like, I don't know, it's kind of got a close look, but she was almost like longer and thinner and sleeker, but with a little more rough edges at the same time.
Oh, cool. I can imagine what you're saying, and it sounds fantastic.
You watch, this is not even going to be Silvari, and I'm going to feel too stupid to ever be on Guildcast again. I'm going to be so embarrassed if that's not what that was. But seriously, I said Silvari, and bam, I mean, every single one of them just clammed up. And they just looked at me like, I'll tell you.
See, they're trained for that. Remember when we were at GDC and I said something about, yeah, I'd like, they said, what do you want to play? And I said, I'll play the Mesmer.
Yes,
and they just looked at me.
You know
the look. Yeah, they didn't, they had the best poker faces. They were just like, well, then you would have to play Guild Wars 1. Or, I don't know, they said, well, we have Guild Wars 1 on this machine if you'd like to play Mesmer. And I'm like, darn it!
it was that look. You know exactly what, you saw it.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. And they all just stood there. Yeah. And then after I changed the subject, they would talk again. It was horrible.
So whichever comes out first, the Silvari week or the Last Profession, will know the other one is true if the first one is true.
Because it was the same look.
The same look, yeah. Oh, man.
Okay, so yeah, but they seriously were like, I mean, and they were so nice about it, and this is something that I really loved about both the media day and the fan day. A couple times they were like, please do not take pictures of that. There was one thing that we were actually all taking a picture of Martin, and then afterwards we realized that he was standing in front of a whiteboard with a lot of writing on it.
Uh-oh.
And he kind of looked over his shoulder for a second, and he looked at us and said, if anyone took a picture, any of you that took a picture, please delete that now. Hmm. And everybody did it.
That's so fantastic.
That was so good. Yeah. I mean, he was not messing around. He was like, please delete that.
Except Ruby, she didn't delete hers. She showed it to me. It's really awesome.
Shut up.
I'm kidding.
I actually kind of panicked because I borrowed my, this is embarrassing, my kid has a better camera than I do. She got a flip camera for graduation.
Yeah.
And I borrowed it. I was like, please let mommy take this up. I'll bring you back cool pictures. And I didn't know how to delete it. So I'm like in this panic, stabbing every button I could find, going, I'm really trying. What if I leave this room with this picture and an alarm goes off?
What if you just emailed it to your entire address book?
Holy crap.
Oh, no.
But no, that was, I mean, it was just, they were just very polite about asking, you know, please respect us and do not take pictures of the things we don't want you to. And everybody respected that.
That's so fantastic. Yeah. That's a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah.
Okay, this is like the biggest tangent ever. I'm so sorry.
We love tangents.
We use them a lot.
I come from Relics. We're the tangent central over there.
So essentially, I mean, to answer his question, it's more than just, well, he's saying it's like a reskin, changing the textures and everything, and it does sound like that. It's kind of an overall, like a whole art direction change, right?
It was a very, very different look, less cartoony, if in fact that was a Silvari. Yeah. I'm like covering my butt now.
Yeah.
Textures, models, probably animations if the proportions are different too.
It fit the world so much better.
So what's the story behind the reskin though? Did they just get so much bad feedback from what people saw?
I don't know. I think they saw it and that was enough.
I saw a video of Daniel Doshu. It's Doshu, right?
Or is it Doshu? Don't ask me.
Doshu? Okay.
I'm horrible.
I heard him say it at ArenaNet and I was so happy. I was like, thank you.
But I saw a video of him, and he was, I think it was at a GDC, and he was talking about the artwork, and he mentioned that one of their artists had a little bit different idea for the Silvari, and they decided to go with that because it just, it made so much more sense. It was, I think he was saying it was another step in the iterative, in their iterative process. Mm-hmm. Boy, that's a mouthful.
And they say that for a living. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, like, he wasn't saying it was any response to any community outcry or whatnot, but that one of their in-house artists, she had a great idea, and they found that it worked really, really well.
Cool.
That's
cool that they're open to that, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right. Well, that's our last email.
You know what? We have one more that we talked about last week, and somebody was... Somebody since corrected me because I was really confused. Can I do that real quick?
Yeah.
Remember the guy that wrote us and asked why the collector's edition was $1,000?
Oh, yeah.
And we were like, we don't know what the Guild Wars 2 collection edition is going to cost. And then afterwards, like, three people were like, I think he meant the Guild Wars 1 collector's edition.
Oh. For Prophecies?
The Prophecies collector's edition.
That's right. On eBay? Is it like...
It's on Amazon.com. I actually am embarrassed to say that I keep looking in case I win the lottery because I'll totally buy one. It's $899 on Amazon right now.
That's insane.
Oh my gosh.
And that's... But that is because... And he was asking about that. And that's because you cannot... They don't make that anymore. I mean, that's literally the only way you can get the thing. So it's like a big... It's turned into like a big collector's edition.
I'm looking at my collector's edition sitting on the shelf right next to me and kind of wishing I had bought another one.
You're seeing dollar signs?
Everywhere. Yeah. Yes. Well, you know what makes it? It's the code. It's the Divine Aura code that makes it.
I love my Divine Aura. My glowy monk hands.
I want one. You know what? And okay, this is my last story, I swear, but this is such... Because you guys will appreciate this so much. Remember when I said I was like so tired and I had to go take a break and I was like sitting around talking to the live team?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I was talking to one of them, and we were just talking about our Guild Wars 1 accounts. And when we played Winds of Change, everybody had a character. They had us all set up, and every character had Divine Aura. And I kind of loved that. And, you know, so we were talking about that, and I was looking at the screen over his head, and I was just like, man, I would love to have the collector's edition. I mean, that's something for my account that I would, if I ever win the lottery, that's something that I will seriously go buy. And he looks at me and he's like, what, just for Divine Aura? And I was like, yeah, I know it's silly. He was like, we can probably give you a Divine Aura code. I mean, we've got like a million codes in the closet. And then stopped because you can imagine the look I'm giving him.
Yeah.
I mean, my mouth and eyes were huge. And I was like, the Divine Aura from Prophecy, you'll just give me one. And he's looking at me like I'm nuts. He's like, yeah. We've got like a million codes in the closet. We'll just, you know, when Mike comes back, just ask him. And I was like, seriously, are you trying to be funny? that'd be nice. He goes, you can't sell it.
And you're like, oh, forget.
I was like, I can sell it. And I was like, you know, if you want to do that, I would take that. You know, so, and then I like deliberately put it out of my mind because I'm like, if you get your hopes up, you're going to be really disappointed if it doesn't happen. Yeah. So I just stopped thinking about it, and then I didn't think anything more of it. Like an hour later, we're all down in the kitchen getting dinner. There was like a buffet. And I hear somebody calling my name, and I looked over, and it was Mike, the guy that he was talking about over too. And he's standing there with Gail Gray, and they kind of motioned me over, and I went over there, and Gail was like, hi, we don't have any of those codes. I think she thought I asked for one.
Oh,
so then I really felt like a jerk.
Oh, yeah.
And I, so, you know, I'm like tripping all over myself to explain, no, I didn't ask. He offered. I was just saying that I liked him. And she's like, no, we don't have anything like that. And I was like, it's okay. Seriously, please stop thinking that I asked for one.
Oh, jeez.
They're like, Ruby, you need to leave now.
Seriously, because what an awful thing to ask for.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was like my Guild Wars story where I was sitting there going, seriously, I think I said that like three times. You'll just give me one. You'll just like walk into the closet and hand me one. And he's like, yeah, crazy lady.
Maybe, okay, I'm going to start a conspiracy here. Maybe he meant for Guild Wars 2. Maybe there's a divine aura for that.
Yeah, okay, that should sure. That's about as likely as me getting my hands on one of those coats.
We're all going to be buying the Guild Wars 2 Collector's Edition, right?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's whatever month that comes out is going to be a financially tight month in the Bear household.
Yes.
See, and we, as we've learned from the Prophecies Collector's Edition, we have to buy two.
Get two, good Lord. Well, but you know what? On the other hand, I have a friend that bought 3 Ion Collector's Editions.
Oh, you had to go there, didn't you?
I'm sorry, but I'm just pointing out that it can bite you in the butt.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's why the Collector's Edition is $1,000, because of pretend glowy hands. And it's important.
Well, it's got some nice stuff in it, too. It's got
wasn't there like a headset?
It had a Logitech headset. It's got the soundtrack, the art book, and let me see what else is in here. I wasn't kidding. It's within reach.
I'm so jealous of you.
There's the Guild Wars manuscripts. Oh shoot! There's a lot of lore in here. Holy cow!
Actually,
I've got it bookmarked.
Manuscripts were in the regular one too, weren't they?
Wait, I'm getting mine out. That's Eye of the North. Well, no, I don't have the collector's edition, but let me see here.
I think it had a poster, too.
Is that like a black, like a little black book?
Yes.
Yeah,
and
that came...
Just on the front, it says the Guild Wars manuscripts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that came in the regular one.
Mm-hmm. It's also got a few ads in here. I keep all of my everything when I get games.
Oh, you totally should, because that's the cool stuff.
I remember, I think it was... Factions, maybe, or one of those, I think it was Factions, had an auto assault, like a trial key or something. I thought that was funny, because auto assault died a long time ago.
Oh. Yep. You know who else died?
What?
Tabula Rasa.
You had to go there.
I'm sorry.
You are dead to me.
I know. Again?
Again.
It's just like a weekly thing, though.
So, hey, I have an idea. Since we're out of email, I wanted to read this one thing. I'm trying to find it here. If I can find it, I'm going to stall and talk slowly. Okay.
Sing a song.
We have a little giveaway that we're going to put in the show notes. But essentially what it is we're giving away... some guild sites, some sites for Engine, ENJIN. It's kind of a giveaway we're doing with them for these sites that where you can set up your guild, kind of like, I don't know if anyone remembers, like Guild Launch. There was another one a while back, I forgot what it's called. But, you know, you can set up forums on there, you can set up your Mumble server, which is kind of like Vent. You can set up all these different things, but they have different tiers of packages. Like they have an ultimate package, I think they have a couple other packages in there, but what we're going to give away is 1 year of ultimate and then 1 year of advanced. These are the two different types of things, and we'll put a link in the show notes for Engine where you can go check it out. You can check out the you know, what the different packages do. Well, the two that we're giving away, ultimate and advanced, and 1 year of that, I mean, there's a monthly fee to it, you know, as you would have with any hosting type thing. But, you know, giving away a year of it, I mean, that's worth a lot of money, wouldn't you say?
Sounds like it.
It's a pretty cool deal. So we'll give details. I don't have the details in front of me right here, but we'll give details in the show notes. And then on the next show, that's kind of to get you ready for it. But on the next show, we'll actually, before then, we'll put up a blog post on Guildcast, giving more details on how you can win those. So right now in the show notes, it'll just kind of be, you know, here are the prizes. But then before next show, we'll put up a blog post giving details on how to win those prizes. How's that sound?
Sounds like
that
fun.
That sounds kind of awesome.
So, I mean, it's really cool that these guys from Engine, they helped us out with a giveaway on Massively one time, and it was hugely popular. The people who won the packages there have gone on, you know, they went and they made their guild websites, and they're just, I mean, they've emailed us and been like, this stuff is incredible. Like, this is the best, you know, the best guild collective site that that's out there. I use Engine. Well, we use Engine for Massively's forums, and we also use Engine. I use Engine for a Zion forum that I'm on too. I mean, it's got tons of tools in there. You know, if you run a website, and I think in preparation, not only for Guild Wars 1, but also in preparation for Guild Wars 2, you know, if you want to get your guild together and a slick new website platform, I think this is, you know, a pretty good one, especially if you win it a year for free. So maybe by then Guild Wars 2 will come out, right?
That would be very, very nice. I've been maintaining the Massively site, kind of the back end of that, and it is so, so user-friendly. I love it so much.
It is pretty cool. And like I said, they have, I'm not sure, like I said, I don't have the information in front of me, the details of the giveaway yet, but Ultimate, I think, is everything. So I think that includes the Mumble server, it includes the forums and just everything. I'm not sure what exactly the Advanced gives, but that'll all be in a blog post, probably next week.
Yay!
So good for that.
Nice!
And we'll tweet it and everything, too, put it on our Facebook and all that good stuff. So, and then for the next episode, of course, we'll talk about it. And we won't do the winners until we record another show, you know, to be fair. Because I know a lot of people don't read the blog and they just listen to the podcast. So we'll be fair and, you know, we'll get it out on the podcast as well next time we record. So, yeah, good times.
It will be.
All right, so I think that's probably it from us. But Tiger, thanks for coming on. It was
Thank you very much. One more thing. I heard the rumor that's going around is that we might get Winds of Change next week.
Oh, really?
Because apparently Stummy said it was going to drop before he left for his wedding, and I guess he's getting married next weekend.
Oh, so Winds of Change next week.
That's what I heard.
That would be awesome.
Through the tweet vine.
Cool. Yeah, I think if that comes out, we'll have to do a show.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt your sign-offs.
No, that's cool. That's cool. Because that would give us a good reason to do a show next week.
Uh-huh.
Cool. Okay, so I guess until then, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
I'm Tiger Feet.
And we'll talk to you then.